Ladies and gentlemen, jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in Northwest Pennsylvania. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for your belief and your trust in us as we walk through this minefield together. The reason I'm laughing right before the show starts, you know, it's like you've got 23 hours notice for the show, right? You'd think you'd have it all down, right? Eric handed me a piece of paper, like 5 minutes before airtime. It says here. It's all, everything you need to know is right here in this piece of paper. Where's the paper? I think Joe is messing with me. I really do. How you doing, Joe?
No, I'm not going to kick a dog while you're down.
Yeah, believe me, I'm down today.
Yeah, have a rough day.
Yeah, it's sideways. I'm sideways, actually. But anyway, I just want to welcome everyone to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Thank you. Thank you so much for your belief again and your trust in us. We've got a great show lined up for you today. This is really a groundbreaking show this hour. Before we get to our guests, a couple of things. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by Whole Tones. Oh, my goodness. Have you seen Whole Tones recently? Do you have Whole Tones? Oh, you gotta go to Whole Tones. Go to HagmanReport.com and click on the link to Whole Tones. I've gotta tell you, the music that soothes the calmest beast, or that motivates those in need of motivation. It's just a tremendous, music track, Whole Tones. And folks, go to Whole Tones. And, thanks, Eric. WholeTonesLive.com. As I stutter my way through this, that's okay. WholeTonesLive.com. More on that later. But the second thing I want to mention is, I don't know how many people heard this, but, Michael Savage got attacked yesterday after
I saw that.
Yeah. Look, I don't know if he was hurt or anything like that. He's bloodied up. But the fact of the matter is, we're telling you, this is a civil war. This is a war that's taking place in this country. When I say war, obviously we're not, this is not Syria. This is not Iraq, of course. But this is an ideological warfare that's taking place. And folks, you better understand that it's coming to a neighborhood near you. That's all I've got to say about that. And, Michael Savage will be in our prayers, certainly. And all of the people on the front lines will be in our prayers. That said, I'm going to kick it over to Joe for some rational discussion.
We have a great show lined up for you today. In this hour, we are joined by Sergeant Sangari. He's been a guest on our show many times, and he's a U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel, the CEO of the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement. That is NECSE.com. And we are also joined by, and I'm going to maybe mispronounce his last name, Emmanuel Kosheva. He's the Secretary General of the Assyrian Patriotic Party and the Commander-in-Chief of the Assyrian Armed Forces, the whole Assyrian Army. Mr. Sangari.
Yeah, and I do want to say this. Bill McIntosh, you're the man. Bill McIntosh from Ocasa Media, you're the man. Thank you. Thank you for bringing these two gentlemen on. You're the man. Go ahead, Joe.
We'll bring on Mr. Sangari first. Welcome back to the Hagman Report.
It's good to be here, guys. And same goes for Bill. He's a wonderful guy. He works hard, effortlessly, and he's given us the opportunity to at least be able to inform the viewers of what is happening downrange.
You know, you've got a lot on your plate. You've got so much going on. Where do you even want to start? Because our listeners are so, I mean, I've been getting emails since people knew you were coming on. I've been getting so many emails, people praying for you, your efforts, your army, the people wanting to know how they can help, people wanting to know what the status is, what the real truth is. So you pick it up wherever you want to. pick it up at. And go ahead and superintend the discussion between you and the other gentleman.
I think we can start with the commander. You know, he's on the ground. He's got the most up to date information right now. Just wanting to update everybody who's watching. A federal judge came out and ruled against President Trump's new executive order on the travel ban. So it's a very difficult process for a country to move forward on issues, especially when it comes to making changes on range to be able to help the Christian Assyrians. So it's been the wonderful support that we have received from the viewers of Hagman Report. Last year, I will tell you that we have had 576 multi-families who were supported through the donations that we received. And if it wasn't for those donational support, we wouldn't have an army on the ground. We wouldn't be able to operate as we have done, and we wouldn't be able to be here to have a say as far as the future of the Christian Assyrians are concerned, both in Iraq and Syria. And I'll let the commander talk a little bit more about the updated information, what has happened, what has transpired, some of the positives that have come out of the operations, and then we'll also look at some of the negatives because both sides need to be explored. With that said, Commander, it's on you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for this program. But at first, I want to say, and I pray to Mr. Michael Savage for what's happening to him, because he was one person who support us in another time. We need that support. For that, he's in our pray, and God bless him and God save him. God save America. Another time, I want to say thank you for having me in this time. And I wish I can able to explain too many things and what's going on in our situation as Assyrian Christian people, that we are facing here at this moment, at this time, at this clashes between the big political groups, even countries that took from our area a part of their ambitions to make their political views for that area, both sides, from Iran and from Turkey. So this is our situation, and really we talk about what we are facing and what will happen to us if there's no any view to rule that to rule Iraq with the law, and to put something on the ground after Daesh defeated. So what we see here, that Daesh soon or later they will be defeated, but what about their ideology? What about their mentality? So this is the problem what we facing here. Like we see in another cities that liberate, like Anbar, Ramadi, like Fallujah, like Tikrit, Beji. Today in Tikrit they liberated two years under Daesh occupied. Now they liberated today, and this evening there was a suicide bomb, and they killed more than and injured more than 45 person. So this is a mentality. This mentality have roots in the society, in the community. For that, we need to change something and to face the reality that this terrorist ideas from where come. So for that, we need to change it, to leave everybody in peace and dignity. Yes.
So, Commander Manuel, what I'm hearing from you is that the current players on the battlefield isn't what's going on is not the most important thing. It's the ideology, and it's the mindset, it's the terrorism that you are looking to combat against, because even children born today, you know, in 15, 20 years, can accept and become a part of that ideology and, you know, become fighters and soldiers and suicide bombers. So the biggest problem is with the mindset of the people. What's the best way to go about rectifying that or changing that?
We must, at first, we must look at see that if we let the rules go with the religions, we will face every time some kind of radical thoughts to become outside in level, and they will rule it with those radical thoughts, because we know that if you see to the religion, you will see some kind of terrors in this kind of thoughts. They see the people who are none in their religion as a second degree or a second level of people from the even they are more than them. They establish this country, but the problem is in their religion. So what we see here that all things, all the terrorists became from the religion. One time I write an article, and I ask in that article one question: did you see anyone bombed himself when he get out from bar or from mosque? So this is the problem, and we must face this problem, and we must solve it. This problem, everything is in mentality. If we don't go to the civilian rules, civilian law, we cannot go with the religion. Not give us the democracy, not give us the dignity. They saw the people in different levels. These are really very hard. Sorry. And look what's going on. And even more than these things happen, the political groups are really play in our ground, and for that we are loose from two different fields. That is from the political parties, the big political parties, the major political parties, and from the other side, from the religion. Look what's going on. Like that, we have laws until now in this after 13 years that we think that we built democracy in Iraq. Until now, they make rules that every kid, Christian kid, or let me see, in this non-Muslim kid, will be converted to Islam under 18 if one of his parents convert to Islam. Why? Because they have in their religion, they have that the Islam is the best religion for Allah. So how you can feel that you have future in this country? How you can feel that you are living in dignity in this country? So this is all what we need to solve, and we need the international community to help us. In this, it's not a problem of defeated Daesh in a war, but how you will defeat Daesh in their mentality.
That's a generational problem. I mean, that's going to take okay. But in terms of the actual battle itself, who are your allies? Since the leadership in the United States has changed, has that improved anything at all?
Yes, we hope that, really, Mr. Eggman, that after this change happen, we hope that there are future and they will come. Because today I, what I hear from Twitter from Vice President Pence, Mike Pence, and he tweets about something. He say grateful that OTD in 2016 House recognized the genocide of the Christian and Yazidis and religious minorities at the hands of ISIS. This must end. We hope that it will be end because our people, they don't want to live the, like immigrants in another countries. We don't like to. We established this country, Mr. Eggman, and we want to build our future in this country. We want to stay in this country. For that, we will do our best to let our people to stay in this country. But another time, I will say we need to help from the international community, because our allies, for sure, we have allies here on the ground. Everybody fight the radical thoughts and fight the ISIS terrorists is our allies, but there are a price for that, for those allies, our local allies. That price is their political ambitions.
If I could add to that, guys, when you look at it, if I can bring it all to what has happened over the past 30 years and tie it to U.S. Foreign policy, really, U.S. foreign policy has been a failure over a 30-year period. And that's what has created the conditions and the circumstances that have led to where we are currently. As an example, at the beginning of the show, I did mention that the judge in Hawaii came out and ruled for a stay as far as the executive order is concerned from President Trump. Now, this is the second time that the POTUS has tried to at least give some time for the systems to look at the immigration policy of how to deal with countries that are actually producing these terrorists, which the commander is talking about, or these ideologies. And we had recently written a paper on Near East Center for Strategic Engagement, where we talked about why do so many nations that are friends nor enemies to the U.S. Eventually become adversaries to us. If you take a look at it specifically, some of the facts that we looked at, we listed nine of the facts. One of the facts that we said there should be a ban, at least for the system to look internal to themselves to study what is happening within the immigration process, was that ISIS has infiltrated refugee camps in Germany and elsewhere. We looked at the fact that ISIS has used the fake International Office of Migration papers to gain entry into those refugee camps. We have had captives, whether it be Yazidis or Christians and others, who have actually seen the individuals who captured them, who were ISIS fighters in those camps. You know, ISIS has made it clear that they want to attack the United States. What happens with U.S. foreign policy, when these internal fights take place between political parties, legislative branches, lawyers debating on what is right and what isn't right, states, you know, fighting against the federal government, U.S. credibility is shot in the region. So when the commander says we want to see a change, that change has to be done by the president, as the vice president has come out now, said that this must stop. The president actually coming on and literally telling us what that policy is going to be that's going to help the Christian Syrians to be able to stand in place. A majority of these Christians in Syria and Iraq that are suffering are the Syrians. We're ethnically Assyrian. And the fact that what are we going to do to be able to give them a safe haven for them? And possibly for them to stand on their own as our allies to protect themselves in the region. Take a look at what's happening with Syria. As an example, we were asked by the U.S. forces a couple of years ago to be able to support an operations in Syria that U.S. wanted to execute. Our recommendation from the Syrian army was, well, if you wanted to help me, you should have been here before my 38 villages in Syria were cleared and taken by ISIS and now have Kurds fighting internally over territory that belongs to me for their own state. Now to come and ask me to help, all ISIS is going to do is use us as Christian as a lure and a worm on a hook to bring you into a larger fight. Take a look at what's happening now in Syria. Well, the Marines are now introduced in Syria. A couple of things need to be understood. Russia was asked by the Syrian government to come and support, and they did. U.S. has not been asked by the Syrian government to come and support. They've had discussions with the Russians and the Turks and have now put forces on the ground in eastern Syria. Russia is sitting in the Mediterranean, has a warm water port, has a good relationship with Assad regime. It doesn't even participate in efforts in eastern Syria unless it's bombing targets with his aircrafts. And now our Marines are going to go on the ground. They're going to participate in land combat operations with individuals who literally are not allies for us. They just need us now. And then after they're done with taking our money and our weapons, they're going to turn their guns against us. Those poor Marines that we're going to put in that fight have to sleep with one eye open. So we're going to go in there. We're going to clear the enemy. In this case, let's say ISIS. What happens after you clear ISIS? Eventually, either you're going to have to leave Syria or give Syria to somebody else. Russia, if they fight this, get rid of ISIS, and then now we're going to go after the Assad regime. That's not going to happen. Russia will replace Assad. Iran and Russia will have a footprint in Syria, and United States will end up on the losing end. If Syria is divided, then U.S. will be blamed for the division of Syria. If al-Raqqa is defeated and ISIS is defeated, U.S. will be blamed for the defeat of the Islamic State, as Russia will be sitting in the western part of Syria, pumping oil out of there with a warm water port that they've always wanted. So when we're talking about policy changes, what we are still seeing is that same old policies that were under Obama are kind of being carried on under the new administration, and we're hoping that a change takes place.
Okay. The Marines, the Marines. About how many Marines were deployed in eastern Syria?
I cannot get into the operational information on that.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter. One thing I think people need to understand is it's very easy to raise an American flag. It's very difficult to bring it down. Once you raise it over Iraq, once you raise it over Syria, bringing that flag down is difficult. And we've always said, do not tread into areas where it might work against you in the long term as far as foreign policy is concerned. So we're hoping that President Trump comes out and finally makes a decision and says, look, we have enduring allies, these Christian Assyrians, they're the natives of these areas. They've gone through a genocide. We need to support them. They should have a footprint in both Syria along their 38 villages, and they should have a footprint in Assyria Nimrud Plain, which the name of the ground is given Nimrud Plain from a historical perspective on the Assyrian Nimrud Plain, because that's how it's been recognized. So if these are the indigenous people, they're the best, closest Western thinking allies that we have in the region, then we should be able to support them through functional budgets that are pumping money into the hands of the Kurdish regional government in northern Iraq and to the Al-Hashi Shabi, which are Iranian-aligned militias, or the old Quds force that fought against us and killed some of my friends on the battlefield. And at the same time, in Syria, where we are supporting communist Kurdish groups and these radical Islamist groups that have absolutely no interest to support American wants and desires for future in Syria. And if we think that we're going to be able to flip those guys and use them to somehow push Russia out of the region, the best way you could have pushed Russia out of the region would have to allow them to bleed in Syria instead of sending our boys to bleed in an area while the Russians are sitting suntanning themselves in western Syria. These are the things that need to change if you want direct support. Now, this is what the Syrian army will give you. And this is how we briefed previously NEA which is at the State Department under the previous administration. We will tell them the same thing here. An enduring partner doesn't just run and say, give me money and chase after dollars. If that was the case, we would have been paid by Russians, Iranians, Kurds, Shia militias a long time ago. But we decided to hold our ground, hold a forward line of troops, and work literally with these Americans who have helped us with pennies, if possible, here and there, where they helped us through the United Assyrian Appeal in order to be able to sustain a multifamily to keep a force on the ground. With $85,000 spent last year, we literally kept a forward line of troops that defended the Kurdish regional government and the Iraqi forces before operations for cleaning of Assyrian Appeal plain took place. It's not a difficult cost if you have the right partners. These individuals that we're partnering with, we have done for 30 years, do not care about U.S. philosophies.
But $85,000 is was your operating budget for that specific?
Yes, we held the forward line of troops with $85,000 last year. And that's all we had. And we supported 576 multifamilies by doing that. So you can see the difference.
Wow.
Between your allies.
Wow. Folks, every penny counts, and we've got to stop the Christian genocide, the Christian Assyrian genocide, and of course, Lieutenant Colonel Sergeant Sangari and the commander as well.
Yeah, Emmanuel Kosheba. And the website for Mr. Sangari, the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement, that is NECSE.com. We're going to be right back. Both gentlemen will be with us until the end of the hour, so don't go anywhere. We got a lot more to get into. What's happening with Turkey? What's happening with the immigration and infusion, and much more. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Week Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Perata's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Jerusalem into this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Two very special guests, Lieutenant Colonel Sargus Sangari and the commander of the Syrian Christian Army. I'll tell you something. This is a real-time, real update, folks. Before we get back to them, I just want to mention Green Innovative. You've got about 4.5 hours left for their the 14% off sale. GreenInnovative.com. That's GreenInnovative.com, folks. Take advantage of their 14% off sale. Alan Riggs, hold him to it, man. Hold him to what he, you know, I'm kidding. He's a good friend of the program. But 14% off your purchase at GreenInnovative.com. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link. But in any case, use our coupon code Hagman. Joe, kick it over to you. And
We have with us Sergeant Sangari and Mr. Emmanuel Koshaba, who is, let me make sure I get this right, he is the commander-in-chief of the Assyrian Army, the Assyrian Armed Forces. Mr. Sangari's website, the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement, and he's the founder of the United Assyrian Appeal. Coming back, Mr. Sangari, I'll start with you. What's happening with Erdogan in Turkey right now?
He hasn't changed. He's making money from the refugee process, and he will continue operating the way he does. If individuals go and take a look at the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement again, we wrote about how the refugees have become the new oil for Erdogan, and that happened on our first anniversary. So you're going back a year and a half now since we wrote that article. Things have not changed. These individuals are individuals that are interested in their self-preservation. Currently, he's introduced his special forces in northern Syria, Erdogan has, and his tank units are taking an absolute horrific rate of casualties. They're at almost 65% operational readiness rate. And part of the reasons why his special forces are operating in Syria is they're getting pummeled. And for him, it's okay that they get pummeled because he knows that if he brings them back to Turkey, it's possible that there might be a coup against them. So these are individuals that will sacrifice individuals under their leadership for their own benefit. And as he's doing that, he's striking deals with various different regional players, putting him and our allies in some bad positions. As an example, when we were talking about infighting that's taking place between what we call our allies, recently we had posted on 5 March where there were clashes that took place on what is called a Khansur complex around Sinjar. And this fight took place between two Kurdish groups. These are the Kurdish regional government forces, which at that location under the Rojavan Peshmerga were mostly composed of Syrians and Arab Kurds, or I should say Syrian Arabs and Kurds, and then also what is called the Sinjar Protection Unit, which is majority Yazidis, but supported and controlled by PKK, which is another Kurdish group in the region. So as this fighting took place, at the same time, U.S. forces with the Iraqi security forces were conducting operations to try to root out and kill or capture majority of the ISIS fighters that are in Western Mosul. Well, guess what? Under this fight that took place between these Kurdish factions with the Kurdish regional government forces fighting over Khansur complex, we had a lot of individuals who were able to use that route through the Khansur to escape. And this happened right after Mr. Masoud Barzani came back from a meeting with Erdogan, who has in the past supported ISIS, and he is now a NATO ally. At the same time, he is allowing refugees to ransack basically Europe to hold them at a cost for a dollar per refugee as he collects from the UN, from the United States. He is committing the U.S. forces in certain areas to fights in order to be able to get between the Turks and the Kurds. Listen, United States over the past 30 years has tried every single possible ally that he can. None of them have a want or desire for the U.S. to have a footprint there. And now we have to break deals with the Russians who are going to get the glory as we bleed in the Syrian desert just to be able to say that we were able to accomplish something. If it was all about destroying ISIS, that was the only thing that America had to worry about, then we could have done that. It wasn't that difficult. But there's complexities that I think sometimes are not understood with what happens in the Middle East. And based on that, I would honestly would hope that the one decision that President Trump makes is that the Assyrian Christians, who are the native indigenous people of Iraq and Syria, need to have their own footprint, need to have their own security, need to have their own capability, and we need to support them as we do with functional budget 150, just like we support the Kurdish Sunni Muslims and the Arab and Shia Sunni Sunnis and Shia Arabs in both Syria and Iraq. That's it.
All right. Commander...
let me fix a point to Mr. Speech. For us as a political party, as both kinds of people that fight on international, nobody have the right to fight the Iraqi land, only the Iraqi people. So what's going on, what's happened is two sides from they came, PKK came from Syria, and the other people, they don't have the right to fight in our land. In our villages, Mr. Sergis know very well, PKK, they are occupied my house, in my village. So who give them that right to come here and fight? And our villages became bombed by Turkish jets in past 3 or 4 months because they are in our villages. We are paying the taxes, not from the fighting between the clashes. Even we are paying the taxes of our land from everywhere they are fighting. So this is really complicated. For that, we want to make everybody far away from those people. We need to be this land to live in dignity, live in peace, to build our future. This was one of the points that we signed it as a political parties last week about to call for the United Nations international community to the other peoples that we need to let our lands far away from the political clashes or conflicts. Please.
Lieutenant Colonel, you want to?
President Trump winning was not just a revolution in the United States. It was a revolution that was accepted and seen and supported in other countries. We expect to see the same change in Iraq and Syria when it comes to the Christian Assyrians. If the voters will go to the voting booths and vote, they didn't just vote on an economic interest issue. They said, we are tired of the way the systems are functioning. You've got to change it. And President Trump went to the White House to drain the swamp. He's going to have a difficulty. We just wrote an article on the Near East Center saying how the Fed hike and the interest rate is to tie his hands. And a lot of the individuals who are part of the swamp, and it goes across the board on the political parties, are going to stop him from being able to borrow from the Fed like President Obama did on the 0% interest rates in order to be able to handcuff him to not be able to get any of these missions done. So President Trump, as he's trying to establish new processes to head the country into the right direction to clean up the messes that we have caused ourselves over the past 30 years, is also having to fight through the system. As an example, what the commander is alluding to, the Christian Assyrians were told, as we were told when we went to the Near East affairs at the State Department. At that time, Mr. McGirt was still at the State Department, and he's still at the State Department. So from a policy perspective for individuals downrange, it's not about the person. Mr. McGirt is a good man, but the fact is that he still reflects an old policy from how the Middle Easterners view him, because they say, well, nothing has changed. You have a new president, but State Department is the same. Department of Defense is still the same. The Department of Defense under Obama was committed to supporting bad actors in Syria, which caused the Syrians to lose 38 of their villages and become casualties in war. And frankly, that was the first time the Syrian army lost a casualty, was when the Khabar River Valley was overrun. And we hadn't lost anybody since 2014 fighting Tier 1, Tier 2 level operations. And now, again, we're introducing the same Marines after the Syrian army has said, stop introducing our, you know, American boys into the fight, because it's really not going to achieve anything at the end. It's not going to solve the problem, because the people you're allying with are bad actors. Russia will eventually win in the region. So what happens is, as an example, we were told you have to go either serve under the Shia of Iraq, which are accused of the war crimes, or the Peshmerga, and who are taking over the Assyrian lands. When Assyrian Nimrud Plain was cleared, it wasn't cleared by Assyrians. It was cleared by the Peshmerga and by the Iraqi army. 100%, 100% of the homes that we wanted to come back to were looted. 60% of the homes are structurally destroyed. 75% were burned inside and out. And some of them were done after ISIS was kicked out. So under the federal budget, which is divided approximately into 20 categories, which we call functional budgets, there is a piece of budget, regardless if it's the Department of Commerce, executives of the Department of Defense, both the president budget, which is submitted annually, and the State Department, and it, where the SecDef actually goes and actually tells the Congress that this is what I need in order to be able to function. This budget, which portion of it falls into the foreign affairs budget, requires under Function 150 to be able to support, as we do, our allies in the region. And how do we support our allies in the region? We support them based on the monies that we use for the purchase of weapon or equipment or foreign military sales, in order for them to be able to stand on their own, to be able to, in this case, hold a federalized Iraq together, or in the case of Syria, I don't know what the plan is. I'm going to be honest with you, because at the end, Russia still wins. So when we look at providing multi-assistance to allies as part of that budget, the Assyrian Christians who wanted to support were split. Thousands of our fighters were taken, as far as Christian Assyrians are concerned, militiamen, were put under the Kurdish Peshmerga, and the rest were put under Al-Hashishabi, which is an Iranian-aligned militia, which even Israel has to get rid of sooner or later, because of its needs to ensure that it's safe and secure when it comes to Iran having a larger footprint in Syria, which, as Shabi has said, once we're done with Mosul, we're going to expand into Syria. So they divide the Christians, put us in the hands of these individuals who want our land, who could care less about us, who put us on the front lines, get us killed, target us, instead of taking the same budget and giving it to us. So if Mr. McGurk was in the State Department before, and he's in the State Department currently, Mr. McGurk was executing the orders of President Obama, which was putting us under pressure to be either under the Shia of Iraq or under the Kurdish Peshmerga. President Trump has come in. He still has Mr. McGurk in position. Well, we haven't seen a change yet. The Syrian army is still waiting to get direct funding and support for those functional budget 150s and stuff. The Iranian-aligned militias getting it, which are an enemy of Israel.
How can we change that, Lieutenant Colonel? What do we need to do to get this changed?
The congressman will say it's part of U.S. code, and it's going to be too hard for us to change it. But the reality is that it starts with the president. The president has to come on and say that the Assyrian Christians, who are the indigenous people of Iraq, who have gone through a genocide, need to have their own place to be able to secure their future for themselves, both in Iraq and in Syria. And once he says that, then just like we support and fund certain groups that are our enemies in Syria, like also committing our Marines to fight along with them, we could commit our Marines and our capabilities to fight along with the Assyrians so that Assyrians can support the future of a federalized Iraq in the region instead of having the Kurds and the Shia turn their guns to each other after Mosul operations are done and kill us all in the process.
Right. And my one last question about this, just because, so this is clear in my mind. At the beginning, you had mentioned about the travel, the restrictions, the refugee restrictions by the United States. Is this not, just to be clear, I thought that we were now turning the tables where Christians were being able to seek safe haven should they so desire into this country.
If I can jump in, that was in the first immigration executive order that Trump issued, giving priority to Christians.
That was not in the second order?
I don't know. I have not read through that, but I know that the you know, the media over here called it bias, even though we saw, what was it, 99% Muslim to Christian ratio under Obama when you have a 10 to 15% Christian population there. But the first executive order Trump issued that was shut down had the provision in it for giving Christians priority. This latest executive order that was shot down today by a Hawaii judge, I don't know, but it was supposed to be written in a manner that would hinder judges from being able to do this. But
bottom line, is it nothing? This is not helping, is what you're saying.
No, nothing has helped. The reason being because, remember, part of that process is, first of all, nobody in America is allowing the systems to be able to look back through their processes. They got to get past the approval, finally get this approved. The courts have to allow this to happen so that the systems can look back through their processes and go, okay, here's where we need to make corrections. They're not even giving them an opportunity to do it. This is second orders that have been issued, and you have individuals who are more interested in winning points rather than looking at the overall security issues that cause. I just laid out the nine, here's some of the 9 points of how ISIS has used these routes to come into the United States. Look, I'll tell you about your, about our immigration policy, and we're looking at 30 years of failed policy. I was recently asked, is it just this particular ban? I said, no. Is how the UN also pushes people through their systems. Right now, the Christians, Assyrians that we have are in countries that are, have staffs that are all Muslim. And even their dialectals are different. We had an individual, when I met with the refugees in Jordan, who had to come in 4 times and literally had to draw what the bathrooms in his headquarters looked like when he was in the Saddam regime as a soldier, when the U.S. Invaded Iraq. How the heck is that going to qualify as being a good citizen or steward for the United States or not? So these poor guys are still stuck in the system. And as soon as we push for an executive order ban to be able to look at our systems, when people make it so-called an anti-Islamic issue, that staffer in the U.N. camp, who's doing a professional job majority of the time, but you know, I can't tell what their sensitivities are going to be. And when they see that there's a Christian Assyrian and there's a 2 other Muslims who are sitting here, he may pass those 2 Muslims through and say, well, the Christian Assyrian, you know, I'm going to help my people before I can help you. It shouldn't be that way, but that's what we're doing. Look, the immigration policy that we have has been a failure because of all the other options. And one of the things I mentioned was that take a look at the visas that we issue for tech-capable people. You know, since our school systems are so awful and we can't even produce individuals who could do basic math, we have to go and suck these experts through the B1 visas in order to be able to bring them to the United States to be able to use them to run our tech industries. Well, I'll tell you, these individuals go back to their countries. ISIS knows who they are. They may have worked in somewhere in a power plant, atomic power plant in Alabama. They put pressure on the families there, or we send these individuals back after we've trained them to our adversarial countries, and they use them as a capability to gather information and intelligence on us. And if a shooting war takes place between larger countries in the future, then guess what? They're going to use them for their benefit, just like China uses North Korea for its benefit if there's a larger shooting war in the Pacific against the United States. Our policies are broken across the board domestically and internationally, and President Trump has to not only clean those policies up, he has to work within the current system that is broke to try to do that, while he has individuals within his own party who might be against them, especially the other party who's only thinking about the next election cycle. Where the Assyrians, we're stuck. We're stuck. Who's keeping us afloat? United Assyrian Appeal to listeners like on the Hagman Report.
And let's address this right now on behalf of the commander and the lieutenant colonel, UnitedAssyrianAppeal.org. Look, folks, you know, it's the commander and lieutenant colonel, this is not going to change. So, lieutenant colonel, I'm going to toss it to you, UnitedAssyrianAppeal.org. We need people to come together. We need people to support your efforts because, frankly, if they don't do it, it ain't going to get done. How can people help you?
Just go in and donate. It's tax deductible. We had a telethon last year. We had Dr. Gorka, Michael Rubin, and various other individuals, Michael Savage, who helped us in 2015. We've already sent out our paperwork for taxes this year. If you haven't received them from UnitedAssyrianAppeal.org, then let us know. Contact us so we can turn over those documents for you. It's a good way of taking care of the families until finally we're able to allow the current Trump administration to be able to move forward with the support of the Assyrian Christians. And God bless the Vice President and the President. They're trying their best. They're swimming upstream against the tide. And, we'll be there waiting until they're able to, at least we can help them in the foreign policy area, especially with the guys on the ground who are enduring allies to the United States and Israel.
Okay. Lieutenant Colonel, you can toss it to the commander. We got about 3 minutes if you'd like to.
Commander, you got it.
I want to say one thing about the immigration law. To pick up the indigenous people like Assyrian Christian from their land and to took them to the United States, it's not the solve of the problem, Mr. Hagman. Really, the solve of the problem is how to support them to let them live in their land. This is what we need. We don't need to lose the Christianity from the Middle East because the Jesus Christ came from the Middle East, and if we lose this fight, then we face any fight, another fight, we will run away from that because it is very easy to run away but it is not very difficult to stay and fight for your thoughts, for your problems. So what we need here is, and I think that United States have the ability and capability to let the people, our Assyrian Christian people, to live in their land and in their dignity with support their political demand, because we don't want to be to live in a ghetto. We want to live in somehow we can build our future. This is what we need, but because we are weak as a people, We don't have that majority of, you know, you'd see it. Everything is going with money, with economic, with oil. But like Assyria people, they took oil from our land, but we cannot talk about anything. What do you think this fight is all in the Middle East, Mr. Hagman? It's all about the power.
That's right.
So
yep.
We are paying tax in that way. What we need here, as we hope that Mr. President Trump will support, because he came from the root and background of the Christianity, and for sure he will not let the Jesus Christ fell down in the Middle East. This is what we hope.
Commander, thank you. Joe, I'm going to turn to you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Commander Emanuel. It was great to have you on the show, and we look forward to hopefully doing this again. And folks, continue to keep Commander Emanuel and Lieutenant Sangari in your prayers. And Mr. Sangari, thank you for coming on again. The Near East Center for Strategic Engagement, the United Assyrian Appeal.org. Thank you for joining us, folks,
and assist them.
Thanks.
Look forward to working with you again in the future.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless, guys. Keep up the good work. Thank you as well.
All right, when we come back, Stephen Menking from the Amateur Society will be our guest. Don't go anywhere.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. But what Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Perhaps you're a business out there, a small business. Would you like to extend the reach of your business? I bet you would. Would you like to have the same opportunities as companies such as Omaha Steaks, Pro Flowers, and Casper Mattress? Some of the bigger companies out there, would you like to have that same power? Advertise on our program. Go to HagmanandHagman.com or send an email to opportunities@HagmanandHagman.com. If you go to HagmanReport.com and HagmanandHagman.com, there's a link where you can, it's a big red box. You'll see it. Click on that link and go ahead and read the benefits what we have created for you. I think it's a fabulous opportunity.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.